Spirit. So much of the Holy Spirit is understood from a theological point of view, and of course that has its place. Much of our experience with God firstly comes through teaching, through the application of God's word. And as the word takes hold of our lives and the seed of the word sown into our hearts, so it becomes that living reality. Unlike any other book that we can read, the word of God, the Bible, is the only book that can be translated into reality, into a knowing, a knowledge. And there is much within the Word of God that we know about the Holy Spirit and his ministry. Just to remind ourselves that the Godhead are all in complete agreement, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They never ever work independently of each other. They are one and in complete agreement. And so as the Holy Spirit is ministered to us, because Jesus said, I go away and I will send the Comforter to you, who will come to comfort you and lead you and guide you, of which we are all receiving if we are truly born again of the Spirit. But we still have little understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so often we take him for granted. So often he's just known as a power somehow. But the reality of the Holy Spirit is that he presents to us the living, risen Christ. He presents himself as living today, now, this moment, as though Christ were with us. And when we begin to experience the Holy Spirit in this way, we then begin to know the Father's love, the Father's heart. Because as I said at the beginning, you can't divide any of this. Sadly, Christendom has divided the Godhead as three persons, three separate persons. Now, we know to interpret and preach on the Godhead is not easy. There's still so much a mystery that is attached to it. But if you have been baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you start to experience his fullness, because of his fullness we have received. And the Holy Spirit has come not only to comfort us, which he does, but he has also come to convict us. And that conviction is absolutely paramount. Many reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit because they are so determined that God doesn't work that way, because he's a God of love and mercy and compassion. And indeed, he is. And we make much of that. But there is also the other side of God that we have to be open to. Because he loves us, he does chasten us, he does convict us. He's ever working, moulding, changing us into his likeness. Of course, we know the wonderful analogy of the potter and the clay. We cannot just have certain experiences with God and reject the rest, which sadly a lot of Christendom does. We want God on our own terms. We want to serve and worship him when it suits us. We want to listen and open our hearts when we feel the anointing or we feel God's blessings and so on. But you see, God doesn't take any notice of that. This is why the love and mercy of God, he's got us firmly gripped and held. Just like a father or mother does with a young child, particularly if they're walking through a busy town and there's a lot of traffic. They have that child secure, close to them, because they don't trust them. They know how vulnerable that child can be, how impulsive a child can be, so motivated and held by emotions. And God does the same with us. That is the love of God. And one day, if you haven't experienced that, you will praise him. You will thank him that his love extends and reaches out so far to even do that. So we're firmly held, gripped by God's love, mercy and grace. I'm emphasizing this because of the title of this teaching this morning, The Scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. You and I are under a microscope, that spiritual microscope, where nothing escapes God's eyes, his heart. And thank God for this. Even though sometimes we misinterpret this, or we feel that he doesn't love us, or he seems so hard on me, with regard to others who seem to get away with it. Yes, we've all had those emotions and those experiences, and of course how the enemy tries to amplify all of that. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to primarily look at verse 26. Now, of course, we all know this. We've all read this many times. This is all part of the Beatitudes that Jesus taught on the Mount. And in the context of this, it's speaking about sin in the heart, murder or adultery or whatever. And in fact, we'll take it up from verse 25, which says here, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hurl you into the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And this is the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. You see, we see in this context where God is dealing with sin in the heart. And when the Holy Spirit exposes these areas of sin and weakness, he wants us to know about this and to do something about it. Now, of course, this can only happen if we have that new nature. If we have that new nature and we're born again, then we start to become very conscious and aware of the scrutiny and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is determined to make you an overcomer, a first fruits unto the Lord. And you cannot escape the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. That is if you have a vision. That is if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is if you put him first. That is your heart's desire. And that indeed should be of every professing Christian, but sadly it's not always. And therefore, he requires you and I to come to that spiritual court where the Holy Spirit convicts you. That is the purpose and one of the workings of the Spirit of God, in which to convict still areas in our heart that are displeasing to him. If we choose to ignore this, or we'll leave it to another time, another day, or whatever, if not, this process begins to work and you are faced with a penalty. And here it is. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And that, very often, is where God has got you in the fires. Sadly, you've landed in the fires of purification, where he's keeping you in there and purging out that unbelief, that hardness of heart, that resistance, that pride and rebellion, and those things that we've all battled with. And then we begin, don't we, to battle about God's love. If God is a God of love, how can he allow this to happen in my life? This should never be happening. This is awful. This shouldn't be, particularly as an overcomer unto the Lord. And what is he doing? He's keeping you there till the last penny is paid. Now, that last penny can be paid. Do you know how we know that? Because Jesus paid it at Calvary for you and I. He stood in the dock on behalf of you and I and said, I will pay the debt. And none of us could pay that debt, as you well know. And he is still paying that debt, because it says here he'll pay that last penny, but he's going to keep you there until you know that it has been paid. And when you know from your head to your heart what he has done on your behalf, that is where you will truly praise and worship him and obey him. Because we know that God is ever working with us to work that obedience, to yield to him. And that is so often our problem. We want our own way. We want to do it our way. And then we wonder why it is we've landed up in prison. You see, when we become his, we become, in many ways, he works with our characters, us, our personality. And that side of us, he actually maims. He weakens. He's ever weakening us all the time. And we fight against that. That's why I'm constantly reminding you in your walk, in your trials of faith, to let go. And that's fundamentally what he's doing. And so to let go, he has to maim us in order that we come to the end of ourselves. In other words, what the world does, you can't do. And that's where we struggle. That's where we have problems. That's where we fight with God. Because the world's doing it, why can't I do it? And God clearly says, because you are not of the world anymore. I have changed you. I've put a new nature within you. I've caused you now to become kingdom-minded, to seek a different kingdom. That kingdom where you're going to live eternally with him, and yet we still lust and want the kingdom of this world. And we resist and we fight, and then what happens? We then find ourselves in prison. And a penalty has to be paid. And that last penny, it will all have to be paid, and then you are released. You see, there are many things that are sin for us. And some would say, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, it is wrong, because it doesn't please God. It doesn't edify him. God is concerned where you go, whom you associate with, how you appear, how you dress, how you come over. Yes, he is concerned. And rightly so, if we're a new creation. And yet, we resist this, don't we? Because we still want to act and be and look like the world. We don't want to appear odd or different. We want to mull in with the rest. But you are odd. You are different, praise God. You are his peculiar treasure, set apart unto him. Now, I'm not talking about you being eccentric. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about not following and living the world's ways. And if you want to be that overcomer and to press in and to be part of the bride of Christ that's making herself ready now, then you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. And not come up with all these excuses as to why you can't change or why you can't be or whatever it would be. God never makes a mistake over you or I. And what he has for you is perfect in his sight. And that's why he maims our life. And that's why he says, I'm not going to let you be like the world and live like the world. And yet we're finding we're still fighting, resisting. What does it say in Matthew 5 and verse 30? And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than that your whole body be cast into hell. Now he means what he says there. It can be the cutting off of your hand. Your right hand, your left hand, is one of the most vital parts of your body. And you will certainly know if you haven't got it. But I'll tell you what he is doing. He is spiritually maiming us. He'll cut off that hand. He'll pluck out that eye if need be. His love will do that. And yet we find we'll fight and struggle over this. It may be better to be maimed, to remain loved and cherished in God's sight. Do you want to be loved and cherished in God's sight? Do you want his love? Do you want to love him? Do you want him so that he's working within you as first fruits unto him? That is the question. But if our love and our hearts and affections on so many other things, it's not going to work. And so God in the end is going to have to be prison. You're going to have to go in there. And I'm just going to shut the door until you're delivered. Until you're free from this. You say to me, well, this sounds so harsh, what you're saying, Pastor. Well, have you ever asked God not to let you go? To hold you in the palm of his hand? Whatever it takes, Lord, work this in my life. Well, if you've prayed that, then you shouldn't be shocked by this. And if need be, he'll do it. But man sees sin differently. And remember that. And what man is doing, what the world is doing, God isn't going to let you or I do it. That's the question. We know in verse 48 of the same chapter, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's working a perfection of faith, of character, of consecration. Not sinless perfection, but that's what he's working. See, that is what I'm talking about. That is what the Beatitudes is about. The Beatitudes, and so many never understand this book. Many theologians, commentaries, don't understand the Beatitudes because it's addressing our conscience. And the conscience is where the Holy Spirit prompts us, makes us sensitive, and tells us not to ignore those promptings. And there is the principles of the Beatitude. And if you see that in that context, you will understand this. You see, we know that God often wants to expose that nature you're exhibiting. What nature did you exhibit yesterday? What nature did you exhibit this morning? Were you sinning with your tongue? Were you disgruntled, angry, moody, depressed? Oh yes, we know it all, don't we? God is concerned about that. Very concerned. And he has sent the Holy Spirit, the scrutiny of the Spirit, to deal with all of those things within us. And do you know why we exhibit this? Very easy. Because we want our own way. And there is the problem. And that is why the cross is there to deal with that. When you're wanting your own way, think upon the cross. Turn your heart to Calvary, and within 10 seconds it will have passed. And it will have saved you sinning with your tongue. You see, when you yield to him, he's going to start to get you out of prison. When you start yielding to him, when you start to be honest and humble yourself and admit that you've got it wrong, that there's sin in your heart, then that penalty will be paid, because he paid it at Calvary. But he had to let you go into prison. And you'll know when you're in prison. You'll be very aware of the conditions. You'll be very aware that God has unfortunately allowed you to go there because you were resisting the scrutiny of the Spirit. You were resisting the promptings of the Spirit. You were pushing your conscience back into your mind. I'll deal with that tomorrow. Or I can't cope with that now. I'm not at that place yet. We make all these excuses, don't we? It's amazing the excuses that come out of us. Unbelievable. And that's why, you see, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, he's dealing with your conscience. He's not dealing with your head or the knowledge you've got there, or theology and how much you know or whatever it is. And that's why most don't understand this, because it's about your conscience. He wants to make that, as an overcomer, very, very sensitive. He was doing it with his son, Jesus Christ. That is why he did nothing apart from his Father. When you allow the Holy Spirit to start to work this in your life, your heart, your mind, your circumstances, you will begin to find you're totally dependent upon your Heavenly Father. And you will say and do nothing unless it's revealed. That is walking by the power of the Spirit in your life. We, all of us, have need of coming to that place. It seems like a huge, huge mountain. It just seems impossible that this can ever happen or would ever happen to me. It will happen to you. It will happen to all of us. When you are willing not to want your own way all the time. And often when you want your own way all the time, that is still pride in your life. And God resists the proud, we're told. And that's why you can't humble yourself. That's why you're saying, well, I'm asking God to change me, and I did come before him and repented and whatever. But nothing's happening. Well, that's maybe what is happening, because you're not dealing with the root of the problem, that pride, that independent spirit. I still want my own way, and I'm going to make sure I get it. I'm afraid it doesn't work, brothers and sisters. You have to decide who is going to be Lord of your life, whether it is you or the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's not so much taught about Jesus being Lord. We like Jesus as the lamb, as the dove, but not so much as Lord, which of course we know means master. And he will not be master over your life unless you willingly surrender and give over those reins that he takes them over. He never forces himself upon us. Sometimes I wish he would, but he doesn't. It's always out of a sacrifice. It's always out of a willing heart. I willingly surrender. And then he will take over. He will begin to work. And one of the things you will really start to know is the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, working in every facet, every area, every minor thing in your life. Yes, only God can do that in order to bring about a conscience that is so sensitive, so attuned to God. That is how Jesus walked. And that is how you and I are going to walk in these last days. But it will never happen if your life is still out so much in the world and mixing with the wrong company all the time. Some have tried to use fellowship as a means of their hearts not being in the world. I've thought long and hard through this because, as we know, we're all scattered and we can't meet regularly as we would like to. But I'm beginning to see the mind and wisdom of God in all of this, because God never makes a mistake. And I'm of the opinion of those who meet 3, 4, 5 times every day a week, it becomes more just social. It's not really dealing with the heart. It's just they're craving for company. And in this case, it's Christians. Now, don't get me wrong, fellowship, meeting together is paramount. It most certainly is. But the question is, God is a God of balance and a God of order. And there is nothing like the world being purged out of us when it's you and God. When you are face to face with him, that is where the real touches of change come with Almighty God. You will never be touched and changed having it through man. And sadly, so many Christians run to man for the answers. Run to man. Well, what is God saying? And they wonder why they're so confused. I have always labored in my ministry that you will get it first and foremost from God. I labor that you go before him, not coming to me all the time. And if you do come to me, then it is simply confirming already what God is saying and doing in your life. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, I'm stressing that because even the years that I've walked with God, I made a big blunder this week. And I should have known better. I was invited to go and do a demonstration near Heathrow Airport. And of course, working out a journey around that area, 6 o'clock in the evening, well, you can imagine what the traffic is like. And so I sought the Lord, committed it into his hands, as you do. And I felt the Lord say to me, go M3 way. Go on the M3. Well, of course, my mind and logic says, no, that's the last thing you want to go is on motorways that time of the day. And so I contact someone who had been to the same area the week before, and they worked out a route for me to go on the B roads. And that will be the best way for you that time of the day. So I set off to go that route on the B roads, and I go no more than 4 miles, and I hit huge traffic jams. And I thought, I don't understand this. I'm not on the motorways. Why is there so much traffic? And you could see people were getting angry and so forth. And time was getting on. And I said, Lord, I have missed this good and proper. You showed me which way to go, the M3. But your promptings, the Holy Spirit's ministry speaking to me, was not good enough. I had to go and get it from man, or get it confirmed. And I repented in the car, and then the traffic began to move, and then I had the decision to go the M3 route. Time was getting on, and I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to make this demonstration. And I felt the Lord say, you've got a choice. And I thought, God, you always give us another chance. And I'm going to take this to prove that you are God, you are Lord, and you never make a mistake. And yes, I made my way round, coming back, time getting on, got onto the M3, eventually got onto it. And do you know what? The M3 was virtually empty. Yes, it's now 6:15 and it's virtually empty. And I got there just as they opened the doors to set up to do the demonstration. And you know, I just thought to myself, what made me do that? What made me trust more in the arm of the flesh than in the leading of the Holy Spirit? But you see, I obviously had to go through that. There was something that God was still teaching in the depths of my heart. There was something that still needs to be convinced that God never makes a mistake. And so I was able to get there and give the demonstration, and God blessed it, and they were blessed. You see, that is the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, you grieved in your heart when you grieve Him. And I thank God for that gift, that it grieved me. I thank God that I was able to repent and to get it right. That meant more to me than anything. And then the peace is there. The opening is there. It's when you let go. And it was a lesson not to trust or run to the arm of the flesh, which we still do in our lives. But praise God, He's getting us, some of us, out of prison. He's paid that penalty. He's paid that price. And why is He doing this? Because He's making us so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to His ministry, His promptings, His workings. It's not a burden. When God shows us a thing, it always goes against logic, against our senses, our judgment. We know better. One would have thought, we've learnt all of this, we've heard it 1,000 times, and yet we find ourselves still wanting to go our own independent way. Yes, there were still some areas of pride God is dealing with, even in my life. But you know what? I thank Him for that. I praise Him. Because if I started to ignore that and started to do things in my own strength, the next thing I will find is there's a penalty needed to be paid. And before you know where you are, you're in prison. And then you start to battle unbelief, depression. The joy of the Lord is no longer there anymore. Everything's become a drudge. You're falling out with people. You're criticising. You're gossiping. Finding fault with everything and everyone. That's what happens. Until eventually that prison has got your attention. Eventually, when you drop to your knees and you say, Lord, I can't go on like this. This isn't living. No wonder people don't want to be around me. And you find yourself repenting. That's the mercy and grace of God. But brothers and sisters, we can avoid a lot of that if we become sensitive to the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't resist him. Don't push him away. And certainly, certainly don't blaspheme him. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring us home to glory. Because the Holy Spirit's ministry, that is God, the fullness of God in your life, all of them agreeing with the work that they're doing. And what the world gets away with, you are not going to get away with. Because God is dealing with sin. He's dealing with those areas still in our heart where we resist him. And the reason we resist him, because we still want our own way. And that is why God brings this sword down in our lives, and he separates us from all our loved ones, all those things that we still want to hold on to or are dear to us. That sword comes and separates. And you know why that sword separates as I close now? So that you will be one with Jesus. And when you are one with him, then he can give it back. Because your heart and your affections are right. The scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. That is what we've been talking about today. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have spoken into our hearts, into our lives. We all of us need to hear this. It's because you love us. And you have got us gripped in your arms, and you are not going to let us go. And thank God you don't let us go. And if it means allowing us to go into prison for a season, then so be it. So be it. Lord, we have received so much from you. We know so much. So much has been given, and you are expecting that much from us. Father, help us in our race that we're in. Lord, I'm reminded of what Jeremiah said. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplains of the Jordan? Lord, help us not to give up. We're in that race. We are winning it by your grace and mercy. Help us not to be sidetracked or to become wearied by those trivial things in the light of eternity. Lord, you know. And I thank you, Father, for our meeting today. Thank you for bringing all the saints in from wherever they be, from the four corners of the earth. May the blood of Jesus ever preserve and keep us. May we be kept under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and not under man. May the Holy Spirit ever lead and guide and empower and preserve and keep us from the evil one. And may above all, our hearts, our vision, our very being looking to Jesus and his kingdom only. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Because there's no condemnation to them.